In a world of uncertainty, one thing is for sure. Cancer doesn't stop during a global crisis. On Saturday, June 13th, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society will host a trailblazing event, Big Virtual Climb, sponsored by AbbVie, to support their investment in groundbreaking research to advance blood cancer cures and its first-in-class patient education and services, including financial support and clinical trial navigation. Step up to take cancer down by climbing 61 floors or 1,762 steps, inside or outside, on stairs, on the road, or your treadmill. Climb your way. Join us for an opening ceremony and then take on your climb with our heart pumping playlist. Join us on June 13th from coast to coast as we come together to climb, conquer, cure. Register at lls.org/bigclimb. Welcome to Hear the Deer. I'm Eric Name, Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter here at The Athletic. And joining me as always is my good friend, Trevon Edwards. Trey, man, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. Honestly, blessed. I would say that.
Blessed. We moved things back a little bit. Memorial Day here on Monday. So, a big shout out to obviously anyone that's serving right now, but obviously all the people that we've lost over the years that have, you know, made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. So it's actually nice in Milwaukee. So anyone that is actually trying to enjoy this 3-day weekend, could get through and do that. I know I plan on doing that as well this afternoon yet, but before we get started today, I wanted to let you know that we have made it official. I'll be joining the folks over at the Bucks Reddit page to do an AMA. Again, that is Reddit/MKEBucks. I will head over there, answer your questions. We'll do it on June 2nd at 3 p.m. Central Time. Again, June 2nd, 3 p.m. Central Time. I'll be doing an AMA over at MKEBucks, the Bucks Reddit page. Great guys over there. We're looking forward to it. I'm excited about it, so make sure you join us on June 2nd at 3 p.m. Central Time over at the Bucks Reddit. What we want to talk about today was the league is ramping up more and more, and it looks like they're going to try to, ultimately get a season in here. So we'll see if they can pull that off. But, you know, one of the things that includes is obviously more and more teams getting back into their practice facility. The Bucks are among those teams. And I guess for you, Trey, you're a dude that's gone through a lot of workouts as a basketball player. You've spent a lot of time in a gym. I guess, what would you think if you saw, an assistant coach in a mask and wearing gloves and rebounding for you and getting you ready?
I probably would leave. I'm not gonna lie. That has to take some like mental preparation to not laugh and be serious and kind of lock in. And, you know, again, the gym is an escape for certain guys that may have other things going on. Even as professional athletes, they still have things going on. And you kind of just have to make just do. So if somebody has to wear a full hazmat suit and they, as long as they don't mess up my pass and hit my shooter's pocket, then we're great.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that is kind of just, I mean, it's the new normal, but it's insanity, right? Like, you to try to get basketball back, like, we have to go through all of these, you know, really extreme type of things where you have to figure out how to actually get this done. And for right now, that's, you know, one guy on the floor at a time, that's an assistant coach with them, that's gloves for the assistant coach, a mask for the assistant coach, like trying to figure out how to actually get all this done. So, I mean, it is an absolutely just crazy time for everyone involved. And yeah, I do, players are going to have to, I guess, get used to that. And, you know, talking with people, I think the biggest adjustment is like assistant coaches wearing the mask like that. Granted, they're not the one doing the workout, but they're running the workout. So if you've ever seen like an NBA workout, like assistant coaches work really hard. Like they're getting a good sweat up there. And it sounds like doing it in a mask is, you know, like one of those, you know, you can put those like altitude masks on that make mm-hmm. your training harder. Like, I think it's, it kind of sounds like some of the assistant coaches have said, like, that's kind of what it's like. Like, you have to really test your stamina.
Yeah. I mean, I personally ran in a N95 and yeah. almost fell out. So I could only imagine, well, maybe an air conditioned gym and low impact stuff, but right. after a while, it just gets tough, man. It's hard to breathe in those type of things. I mean, and I'm not sure the effectiveness of, you know, certain masks and how they relay. You know, I know the NBA was selling masks, team masks. I wonder if they're going to supply them for the players for, like, specific teams, and they just actually wear it as uniform, you know, for the uniform code. Man. Interesting.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, I guess like the news of the week is obviously all of this is kind of progressing. And, you know, like the NBA released an official statement. Obviously, our guy Sam Amick and Shams Charania, they had already reported that, you know, the league was zeroing in on Disney. But in a statement on the 23rd of May, that would have been Friday, the league, you know, actually announced and said the NBA, in conjunction with the National Basketball Players Association, is engaged in exploratory conversations with the Walt Disney Company about restarting the 2019-20 NBA season in late July at Disney's ESPN Wide World of Sports complex in Florida as a single site for an NBA campus for games, practices, and housing. And I mean, we were talking about this before we started to record with our producer, Robin. It's just kind of crazy to watch what they are attempting to do, like whether or not it gets done, like just that they are already like working on all this stuff and thinking about all this stuff. And all right, here's the single site, and it's going to be a campus, and it's going to be for practices, and it's going to be where the guys live. Like, this is just wild.
Yeah, I mean, we've never seen like nothing like this. You know what I mean? Like, and again, you have to go through, and the NBA is doing a good job at following protocol, and they're not going to, you know, cut corners to make this happen. If it works, it works. If it's not, then you go back to the drawing board and everybody go home. So these right. are the things, and I think it's obviously a conflict, you know what I mean, with what the president is doing as well, because he's saying that things are open and, you know, time to take back things. And there's other people that's pushing back and saying, well, hold up. Because I mean, myself as right. an educator, I'm questioning if I actually want to go back in a classroom. You yeah. know, even though the state that I'm in is currently open, I'm still making choices for myself to stay indoors. So you think about, you know, maybe Joe Ingles saying that he's willing to walk away for his family. You know, what do other players are thinking? You know, I mean, that aren't household names.
Right.
So.
And I think what's also interesting is, you know, kind of at the start of this, Michelle Roberts had mentioned like, hey, like we're not like the players aren't going to be OK with being essentially locked up. Like they're not going to be OK with, you know, people saying like, hey, you have to stay on this campus. You can't leave this campus. Like everything you have or everything you need is here, self-contained. And she was very strongly like saying like, no, that's not going to happen. And I think where all this gets interesting, where you mentioned like other states doing their own thing and certain places opening up, like I think the restrictions you can place on players are going to get really tough, like especially in a state like Florida where they're, you know, fighting to open things up, and then all of a sudden you can tell a player like, no, you can't leave. Like that's not going to fly. Like, cause they're going to be like, hey man, other people couldn't do this. So how they collectively bargain all of this, I don't know how they make it all work, because players are obviously going to rebel against the idea of being restricted, being locked up in just a single place. But that means when you leave, you come back, you got to get a test. Like there's a lot of really tough things to figure out from, you know, a player perspective, from an owner's perspective, from a collective bargaining perspective. Like there's just a ton of stuff that you have to sort through, and none of it's easy. And I think it feels like all of it is messy. Like no matter what, that's where we're at. Watching The Last Dance in the last couple of weeks, you know, you get reminded of all of the, you know, insane products that were somehow created. And one of them that I've always found crazy is Michael Jordan clone and people legitimately wearing it and thinking it was incredible. And that just like opened up the idea of branded cologne. You have team colognes. I saw someone on Twitter talking about there was an official New York Knicks cologne, all this crazy stuff. But it makes sense because smelling good is important, and that's why I want to talk to you about Hawthorne. Hawthorne smells really good, and getting Hawthorne cologne is incredibly easy. For all of you guys, it starts with something very simple. Take the quiz and answer some questions. Here's how it works. You take a quick 2-minute quiz, and Hawthorne tells you the two colognes that are best for you, one for work and one for play, totally risk-free with free shipping and free returns. All you have to do is check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E and .co, not .com. Hawthorne.co, and use our promo code ATHLETIC to get 10% off your first purchase. That's hawthorne.co and use our promo code ATHLETIC to get 10% off your first purchase. Hawthorne.co. So moving forward with this, it does feel like the NBA, whether it's the players, whether it's the owners, really want to get this thing done and really want to get back on the floor. And I guess kind of where it gets interesting is some of the proposals that we've seen reported. So our guy Shams had talked about how, you know, there's a survey sent out to the general managers in the league about, you know, how you'd want to do this if you came back. Like, do we bring all 30 teams back? Do we only bring 16 teams back? Do we lock in the six seeds in the Eastern and the Western Conference and then do a play-in tournament for 7 and 8 between the teams around that area in each conference? Does that play-in tournament go down to the 10 seed? Does it go down to the 12 seed? Like, how do we kind of do all of that? And I guess let's start with, do you think if they come back, they should bring all 30 teams back?
Not really. I mean, it really technically wasn't that close for some teams. I mean, I know fans are very passionate and like to, you know, feel that they can run the table, but I would be fine moving forward. I mean, right. But again, as long as it doesn't affect anybody's finances in that scenario, I feel if they could move forward, then we just take the best 16 teams, you know. But yeah, as far as, you know, obviously those northern teams, I think it's Toronto, New York, and Philadelphia or something like that, are excluded from Orlando for now. So right. It's interesting. There's just so much stuff to unfold. But yeah, I don't think that all the teams should be, you know, playing at this point. Just go and set your go ahead and be self-quarantined somewhere special.
Right. And I think like maybe one of the things they're going to have to do, like to sell the 16 on coming back or to sell even the non-playoff teams on not being included, is like, all right, let's have everyone go to their city or go to a city where they feel safe for training camp. Obviously, you mentioned some of the high risk areas that are still around in different cities in the league. Like, I think one of the solutions is kind of to sell it to them. Like, I know we don't normally do this, but like, hey, use this like college football teams use spring football, where you get to bring your team together. You get to have like a training camp, essentially, like quote unquote, a little pseudo training camp, where there's going to be teams that, you know, some of them have moved on from their coaches. Some have hired new coaches. Some teams have started to think about what they're going to do in the future. Obviously, we already heard from Steve Kerr, where he was like, well, for us, I don't know why we would want to do anything else. I think the sell has to be to like those teams, like, all right, everyone go to do a training camp and you're going to get 3 weeks of access with all of your players that you wouldn't normally get, or something like that. Like, because I think you have to find a way to sell it to everybody and make sure that everyone can get something out of it, other than obviously the money. But yeah, I think that's the tough part too. And, you know, there are some of these regional sports network deals that have to have 70 games played in 70 games on TV for them to kick in. And all right, like, how do you figure that out? Like, does that mean playing games? So it's prickly to figure out any of this. All right, let's go. If they don't bring all 30 back, they just go playing. Do you think you have to go as far as like 12? Because I mean, if you go as far as 12, I mean, even going to 10 in the East brings in some sorry teams, but like going to 12. So in the East right now, you have the Nets at 7, the Magic at 8, and then the Magic are at 8 at 30 and 35. The Wizards are 24 and 40.
Not bringing them back.
That's your ninth team. And then the Hornets are 23 and 42. The Bulls are 22 and 43. And the Knicks are 21 and 45. Like, that is 7 through 12. And it's just like, what if I'm the Magic or I'm the Nets, I would be like, this is BS. We were 6 games better than these other teams. How are you going to make me play for my playoff spot when I was so much better than them? And like, maybe in the Western Conference, you can make the argument, like the Blazers, Pelicans and Kings and Spurs are all 4 games or fewer out of the 8th spot. But in the East, I just don't know how you would do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a wrap for those franchises. You know, they're not even close. I don't see anybody running the table and just saying, magical run to get into the playoffs.
Right.
Let's just take the top 8. That's really good, and from both conferences, and let's get this show rolling. If we could, that would be my perfect situation. And I think they flirted with this, trying to introduce the new playoff scenario. And if they were to do the new playoff format, I actually wrote up how it would look if you want to hear about it.
So the one you're talking about is like seed all of them 1 through 16.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm listening.
All right, so first matchup, the 1 seed versus the 16 seed would be the Milwaukee Bucks versus Orlando Magic.
So nothing changes for the Bucks in that scenario.
They keep their scenario. The Lakers, who's the number 2 seed, would be playing against the Nets, who are the 15th seed.
Okay.
The Raptors, who are the 3 seed, would be playing against the Grizzlies, who are the 14th seed. The Clippers, who are the 4th seed, would be playing against the Mavericks, who are the 13th seed.
Okay.
The Celtics, who are the 5th seed, would be playing against the 76ers, who are the 12th seed. The Nuggets, who are the 6th seed, would be playing against the Pacers, who are the 11th seed. The Jazz would be playing against the Jazz are the 7th seed, would be playing against the 10th seed Rockets. The 8th seed Heat would be playing against the 9th seed Thunder. And that would be it.
So I think where it's interesting is, like, I don't know that the first round matchups get a ton more interesting, but where it gets interesting is, like, obviously you have 1-16 Bucks Magic versus 8-9 Heat Thunder. So you have the possibility of, obviously, for the Bucks right away, like that, cross conference kind of second round game. You also have the possibility of the Heat in that game, which in the other playoff scenario, like, you could get that as well, so it would be similar, but the Heat are a team that, you know, a bunch of people are thinking about. But I think where it gets really interesting is, like, if the Clippers are the 4th overall seed, they'd be in the 4-5 matchup and on the Bucks side of the bracket instead of on the Lakers side of the bracket. And then all of a sudden you have the possibility of the Bucks needing to go Bucks Magic, Bucks Heat or Thunder, and then Bucks Clippers to get to Bucks Lakers at the end. And that's where I think this is really interesting, where you can keep the Lakers and the Clippers on opposite sides of the bracket, which obviously I think would be a pretty big win for the Lakers, like to have the Raptors be the other really good team on their side as opposed to the Clippers, because unless I'm wrong here, like, I think there's only 3 true contenders for the title. It's the Bucks, the Clippers and the Lakers.
I agree.
And that's
my dark horse is the Houston Rockets, still. I will say that.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah, those dudes are getting it in quietly.
Like with the way that their style changed now, mental, where Westbrook's just like living at the rim and they're just going
just
at
right
dudes.
Now, just off season mental focus. I mean, with the stuff being shut down, these guys, I've never seen Harden that slim. Russ is just getting his work in. Right. And I mean, I don't fall in love with workout videos,
right?
But I do see that these players play with heavy intensity. And I think that with so many people being hurt, including the Bucks, that so many teams got, you know, a facelift pretty much in this scenario, right, to get healthy and come back stronger. And I just think that it's going to be really good.
I think that's where it gets really interesting for the Bucks is like, we don't really think about it because it was 2.5 months ago, but like the Bucks go on that West Coast road trip game against the Lakers on that Friday night on ESPN. Giannis has that crazy fall, like where his knee gets all jacked up. And like, I remember the day before the league got shut down, we had media availability. We had to stand 6 to 8 feet away for the first time. And Giannis walked up to the microphone with like a compression wrap on his left knee. And he needed that because of that crazy fall he had just taken. So like, he's got a chance to get healthy. George Hill had been struggling with a groin injury, which, as both of us know, like groin injuries can be really obnoxious. Like they just don't go away unless you actually rest. And this gave him a chance to reset. So like the Bucks obviously benefit from it, like to have like a full on healthy Giannis, and not to have him getting like a wear and tear for the last, I guess the last like 2 months, so he can be fresh. But there's a lot of other teams that got the same thing. And I don't know, like one thing I was thinking about a little bit, the Bucks have a bunch of veterans in their rotation. So they have a guy like Brook Lopez, Robin Lopez, Kyle Korver, Wesley Matthews, a little bit older, George Hill's a little bit older. You have a bunch of guys on the roster that are veteran types. And I'm curious what you think. Like, do you think guys that have been in the league 10 plus years need more time to get their bodies right and to get back into the shape that they want to play, or they're more good to go since they've been through it all before? Like, how do you think that affects older players versus younger players, or kind of how do you see that playing out on the Bucks roster?
I think it benefits for the older players because they have a stronger mentality. They've been pros for a long time. Right. And they know, you know, they know whether they're sitting on a couch, whether they're doing anything. They know that they need to stay in shape. And the recovery time is a little bit longer and things are, you know, you still have to stay in the mix. So I'm sure those guys are working, that the guys that have a tenure, you know, in this league, and that they're not taking it lightly versus a younger player who still, you know, arrogance wise feels that they can just get up, and, you know, do right. what they need to do off of, you know, getting up off the couch and have a rude awakening and maybe have a game or two to, you know, get back into the field.
Right. Yeah, man. I honestly can't even imagine. Just say this. Like, so you're gonna start the season, you're gonna play for 5 months, then you're gonna take, I think by the time we get back to action, it's gonna be 4 months, and then you're gonna play for 2 months. Like, think about how crazy that is. 5 months, then take 4 months off. And then come back and play 2 months before taking another 3 or 4 months off or whatever it's going to be. Like I know everyone's tired of hearing the, you know, the phrase totally unprecedented about anything going on right now, but it is. We have no barometer. We have no way of gauging how any of this will go for any team.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
we can just guess. Like it's crazy because most of the time when you go into playoffs, like you can think like, oh, we know this matchup, that matchup. We know how this team is doing. We know these injuries. Like we're not going to know anything. Like teams should be healthy, but also maybe dudes come out of shape. Maybe dudes get in even better shape. You mentioned like a Harden looking slim and looking ready to go. And then in my head, it's like, all right, what does Joel Embiid look like? Right. Like that's a guy that is always playing himself into shape and trying to do those things. We saw, you know, on the Western side, Nikola Jokic has been a guy that's played himself into shape a bunch. Like if you go right into the playoffs, there's no playing yourself into shape. Like you gotta be ready to go from the jump. So I don't know, man. If they actually get this done, and again, like we are a long ways away from that actually happening. We're months away. We're a training camp away. We're traveling to the site away. We're clearing everything at Walt Disney away. We're 2 weeks of full-on testing every single day for all these guys away. Like, we are so far away from it actually happening. But if it actually happens, I mean, this is just something that we have never, ever seen before. So we'll see how it goes. But, man, some of the things, like, you have to think through. How are they going to seed it? How are they going to do a play-in tournament? Are they not going to do a play-in tournament? How do these teams play? Like, all this stuff is just, I mean, it just whirls around in your brain, because who knows how any of this this actually happens. But we'll see. We'll see if we know more next week. But we will be back. As always, if you want to comment on the podcast, you can do it wherever you subscribe to podcasts. But you can also do it in-app now at The Athletic. You can comment on podcasts in the actual podcast portion of the app while you're listening. You can click in there and do what you need to do there. So you can do that. And as always, you can use the promo code Hear the Deer for the best trial that we have going on at The Athletic at that moment. That will get it to you. Again, that is theathletic.com/hearthedeer. So check that out. For Trey, I'm Eric. This has been Hear the Deer. We'll talk to you guys later.